This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. Thanks so much for listening. There's a big decision from the Supreme Court a couple of days ago that may have a big impact on workers in this country, and particularly on unions. It had to do with the National Labor Relations Board, and whenever it comes to anything labor-related, I always turn for analysis to my brother Seth, who served in the Labor Department during the Clinton administration and in the Obama administration as well, where he was Deputy Secretary of Labor and spent 6 months as the Acting Secretary of Labor. He is now of counsel at the law firm Dentons and a distinguished scholar at Cornell University. Seth, welcome back to the show.
No, it's great to be with you.
Explain, first of all, what the NLRB, the National Labor Relations Board, is, and then explain what the Supreme Court did that's going to affect them.
Well, the NLRB is an agency created by Congress to administer private sector labor relations in the United States. So if workers want to organize a union, or if unions and employers want to bargain over a collective bargaining agreement, a contract, the NLRB is the body that enforces the law that they have to follow when they do that. What happened in this case of NLRB versus Noel Canning is that the Supreme Court essentially said that the president did not have the authority to appoint three of the members of the five-member NLRB without the Senate's consent. You know, the Senate has to sign off on, confirm any presidential appointee to significant positions. The five members of the NLRB are considered to be significant positions. But in certain circumstances, when there is a recess, the Constitution allows the president to go ahead and appoint these people without the Senate's consent. And this was a case about whether the president went too far by appointing three members of the NLRB. And the Supreme Court unanimously said, yes, the president went too far.
Now, we should point out that recess used to mean, okay, we're going on our August break, or we're going to take a winter break between Christmas and New Year's, or we're going to take a week off here or there, which Congress does quite often. But for some reason, the Senate in the last several years of the Obama administration has never really officially done that, right?
Well, they do it, but only for a short period of time right at the end. This was a case about a big conflict between the president and the Senate back in January of 2012. The Senate, in order to keep the president from making these recess appointments to significant positions in the executive branch and independent agencies, was holding pro forma sessions, meaning they would meet for a few minutes and then they would do no business of any kind, but they would stay in session. So technically speaking, there was no recess, and so the president, they thought, the Senate thought, could not appoint people to these positions using his recess appointment authority. And that's the heart of this case in Noel Canning. And it was really a fascinating case, you know, for law nerds like myself, this was really a fascinating case to read because it gave us a window into a really epic battle that's going on inside the Supreme Court over how do you read the United States Constitution. And, you know, Justice Scalia for the conservatives reads it very, very, very literally. And he says that when the Constitution says the recess, it means only the recess at the very end of a congressional session. And it's only when Congress says, now we are formally going on a recess until we meet again in our next session. But Justice Breyer, who wrote for the majority and is one of the most prominent liberals on the court, said, no, it doesn't mean only that recess. It means any recess of a really significant period of time, which he said in his decision is about 10 days, except in emergency circumstances. So the president made his appointment in a period that only lasted 3 days. So these particular appointments to the National Labor Relations Board were judged invalid by the Supreme Court, but it preserved this president's and future president's authority to make recess appointments when there is a long enough recess in the Senate.
Okay, but what about the politics of this? Because the House of Representatives, which is not involved in this, that's run by the Republicans. But the Senate has a Democratic majority. Why can't they say, you know what, we're just going to go, you know, I'm Harry Reid, I'm the Senate Majority Leader, we're on recess.
Right. Well, the Constitution makes that even more difficult. This is really the marvel of the United States Constitution. In order for either House of Congress to take a recess of longer than 3 days, it needs the permission of the other House. So the Senate can't take a long recess unless the House says it's okay. So what Senator Reid was stuck with was a situation where he could not get the three appointees to the National Labor Relations Board confirmed because the Republicans were filibustering these three nominees, and he couldn't get a long recess to make more room for the president to make recess appointments because the House would not agree. So two things have now happened. One is we have this decision that says if it's 10 days or more, go ahead and make a recess appointment. And also Senator Reid and the Democratic majority changed the filibuster rules. So now you only need 51 votes in order to be able to confirm a nominee of the president to the National Labor Relations Board or the Labor Department or any other agency.
But what's going to happen to the NLRB going forward if the president wasn't able to make these recess appointments in those three-day windows, and the way the Congress is set up, he's not going to be able to get any other nominees through? What's going to happen with getting people on there? And more importantly, what is that going to mean for workers and unions in America?
Right. Well, so right now, the NLRB has 5 members who were confirmed by the United States Senate. There was a deal cut several months ago, and we have 5 fully confirmed, legally, constitutionally permitted members of the National Labor Relations Board. What the Canning decision says, though, is that the period during which these three members of the board, these recess appointees to the board, were serving, all of the decisions during that period are no longer valid. So it's entirely possible that the National Labor Relations Board will have to go back and re-decide hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of cases that they had already decided back in January 2012, extending for about 18 months thereafter. So it means a lot more work for the NLRB. It means that the Democrats are going to have to get people confirmed to the NLRB and other agencies with a majority rather than a supermajority of 60 votes to overcome a filibuster. But it really is about what this case really shines a light on is that the relationship between Congress and the president is broken. Congress is not working right. It is not moving forward. We're seeing it in a number of areas. We're seeing the Speaker of the House of Representatives who's threatening to sue the president for using authority that the Speaker thinks is really Congress's authority. You know, it's just more evidence that Washington is broken and that we're not moving forward in a lot of areas we should be moving forward.
Yeah, you've got a blockade, almost a wall that's been built up there on Pennsylvania Avenue where nothing can get through and important matters can't get decided. Now, I wanted to ask you about the lawsuit that Speaker Boehner said he was going to file against the president, although he hasn't said specifically what his complaint is. He used phrases like executive monarchy and imperial precedence and aggressive unilateralism, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I've only got a couple minutes left here, but can you give me a brief capsule of what this is going to turn into?
I got to say, as a law professor, it's very hard to know what it turns into because typically lawsuits to attack the president using his authority in particular areas don't come from the Speaker of the House of Representatives. It's really, again, a mark of how badly broken Washington is right now. And also it's a sign, you know, this is the Speaker putting forward the campaign platform of the Republican Party for the 2014 congressional elections. They want to run against Barack Obama, so they're making him the evil, the cause, the person that all Republicans should come out to try to defeat as though he were on the ballot, although he can't run for office again. And so they're using this lawsuit just as a way of getting into the news, getting into the press. Typically what happens is if the president issues an executive order or if he takes some other action, some party who's affected by that order, a business or a union or a not-for-profit organization, sues and says, well, this is beyond the scope of the president's authority. He doesn't have authority in the statute. He doesn't have authority in the Constitution to do what he's trying to do here. The Speaker bringing a lawsuit really is a cry of frustration with the president and I think a political messaging activity to try and get the news out there that, hey, Barack Obama is really the enemy of Republicans everywhere.
President Obama, by the way, referred to this lawsuit on Thursday in an interview with ABC News, dismissing it as a stunt, saying, quote, you notice he, meaning Boehner, didn't specifically say what exactly he was objecting to. I'm not going to apologize for trying to do something while they're doing nothing. And it should be pointed out that Obama has issued fewer executive orders than any other president since Franklin Roosevelt. And he was preceded by a guy who started the whole concept of the signing statement, which was, yeah, I'm signing this into law, but I still retain certain powers because, after all, I'm the president. That's how politics works now. We're all out of time, Seth, but thank you so much for joining me here today. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
My brother, Seth Harris, of counsel at the law firm Dentons and a distinguished scholar at Cornell University. I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend.
America Weekend.